It's good to see everyone here today, and glad to be here once again with you at Park Crest. As we continue in your series I also was here a few weeks ago, and we were doing continuing in the I Am series, and so it's nice to be able to continue on. I was doing I Am the Light of the World, and this week it's to do with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and I was actually going to bring a whole box of grapes today. I wanted to do that because to illustrate it, and but I didn't because they're rather expensive, even though. But you're all worth it, okay? And I see that someone beat me to it. They had grapes downstairs, so. let's just seek the Lord in prayer as we continue. Lord, we really are grateful for the fact that you are the source of life. You're the source of life everlasting. You are the source of what we desire and need in our lives. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this image that we have before us today of Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Lord, we desire to be fruitful in our lives. Thank you for your grace, your faithfulness to us, but most of all for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life so we could be forgiven our sins and have eternal life and a hope. We thank you for that reality. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to be here, and as I was thinking about today, I actually read something here a few weeks ago that I thought was just really good, and I think some of it can be applied. And it's just a little story that I read, and it's something that can be applied to what we are looking at. We realize that here in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he's saying that I am the vine, and you are the branches. And fundamentally, what we're looking at is the abundant life in Christ. We're looking at what Christ brings to our lives. And I don't know everyone here in the audience, but I do know many of you. And when we think of abundance of life, when we think of what God can do in our lives, we sometimes can look at our own lives and it can be a little superfluous, right? You can look at your life and you can go, really, do I need that? Or is that something necessary in my life? And I just want to read this to you. And it was, and I don't know if you've read this before, but I'd love to do it. But I didn't bring all the, well, I don't have all the ingredients for this. But it's a philosophy professor stood before his class with some items on the table in front of him. When the class began, he picked up a very large and empty mayonnaise jar and proceeded to fill it with rocks, about 2 inches in diameter. He then asked the students if the jar was full. They agreed it was. And so the professor then picked up a box of pebbles and poured them into the jar. He shook the jar lightly. The pebbles, of course, rolled into the open areas between the rocks. He then asked the students again if the jar was full. They agreed it was. And the professor picked up a box of sand and poured it into the jar, of course. The sand filled up the remaining open areas of the jar. He then asked once more if the jar was full. The students responded with a unanimous yes. Now, said the professor, I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. The rocks are the important things, your family, your partner, your spouse, your health, your children, things that if everything else was lost and only they remained, your life would still be full. The pebbles are the other things that matter, like your job, your house, your car. The sand is everything else, the small stuff. If you put the sand into the jar first, he continued, there's no room for the pebbles or the rocks. The same goes for your life. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you will never have room for the things that are important to you. Pay attention to the things that are critical to your happiness. Play with your children. Talk to your spouse. There will be always time to go to work and clean the house and give a dinner party or fix the disposal. Take care of the rocks first. The things that really matter, set your priorities. The rest is just sand. It's kind of a cool little analogy, isn't it? And I was thinking of today, and I was thinking of, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and we think about what he has done in our lives and how he states it here in John 15, he takes an understanding of something that's very, very practical and real. And I've got a picture here that I want to show you. Fraser, if you could show that picture, that would be great. Now, it's a selfie, okay, so just hope you don't mind. And, I'm being very contemporary with that, right? As you can see, that was that's down in my home in Chile. And we have a house down in South America. It's a beautiful, great old ancient home with in a courtyard and a beautiful symmetrical house in the sense of the rooms, and they're all big high ceilings and beautiful floors and just a great home. And I was born, that was the home that I went to. And in our backyard we have it's a long narrow house. It's somewhat wider than this structure, but maybe out towards the parking lot, and maybe just a little bit, and then it goes about half a block long. It's a very long house, and in the backyard we have these grape arbors, and we have about five different kinds of grapes there that grow, and so you can go out there in the summertime, and it's really a great thing about January or February in my town there, and it's great. We used to, after church on a given evening, because we go to church every night, we'd go and just wash the grapes up and just eat them off the vine, and that's just a really great thing. And we have great memories of sitting out the back. We had a bench there and sitting with my folks and chatting and having a cup of tea or coffee and eating some fresh grapes. And that was delightful. And so when I look into the stores today, we see a lot of produce from, well, Peru and also from Chile, a lot of grapes that come from there. And I found some that there's this type of grape, a muscat. I don't know if you've ever tasted those grapes, muscat. They're very expensive, but they have a very unique taste to them, and they're very nice. And in our backyard, we actually have some muscat, and I'd actually found some here from Chile in one of the stores, and I bought them. And it cost me an arm and a leg, but it was they were worth it. And I think of how I've grown up around grapes and around that kind of an environment, and so when Jesus speaks this, I believe I've mentioned this before here at Parkcrest. When Jesus says this for the people that he was speaking to, you can take that selfie off there, Fraser, and it's all right. I'm not that vain. I don't think so anyway. I hope not. When we think about what the Lord Jesus is saying here, it's something that the people can relate to. And And one of the things that from that little story about that philosophy professor, as he showed his students, he said, what do we fill our lives with? And so what the Lord Jesus Christ has challenged the believers, he's saying, I am the vine. He says, this is what really can truly fill your life. Now, that philosophy professor talked about things that are important, our relationships, the things that matter, things that have significance. And so I want to take it a step further and to say what really does matter in our lives is, first of all, our relationship with Christ. That living, beautiful, wonderful relationship that you have put your faith and trust in the living God by accepting that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for your sins, received the forgiveness of sins, and have a new life. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In John 14, he's challenged them, and in one specific point, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so you've spoken about that, I believe, I'm not sure. But the second part of John 14, there's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not leave you as orphans. I will give you a comforter, the Spirit of God. And now he says in verse 1, and let's read the first 5 verses. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, let's leave it there for now. When I returned from Chile the last time, I may have shown you a picture of a guy that was working on in that specific spot. And in the wintertime, that's completely bare. There's just no it's just like the trees here in the wintertime. No leaves, nothing. And if you have a garden, or if you look at even some of the city streets, some of these trees and some of these plants, they're all pruned. They're all cut back. And so that there can be a new growth that takes place. And so that's what often happens. You look at this, the vineyard that we have there in the backyard in the month of August, and you're looking, going, I wonder how, you know, this foliage is going to come out, and you know, how can grapes come out? And then by about October, you can see tiny little green little very very small little things, you know, and you go, that's going to grow, and sure enough, it does. And so Jesus, with this mental picture that he offers the disciples and also to us today and those that have read this over the centuries, he declares and he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now, when Jesus says something so specific, he says there's really 3 things that he looks at in this particular chapter. The first thing that he looks at is that there are 3 vital relationships in our lives that he brings out. That in verses 1 to 10 of John 15, we're to be related, rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. In verses 11 to 17, we're to be rightly related to each other and have good, strong relationships. And then in verses 18 to chapter 16 and verse 4, it talks about how we deal with the world and how our relationship is with the world. But What we see here in the Lord Jesus Christ is that he talks about the fact that he is the true vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and there's the challenge to abide or to remain in our relationship. And how do we do that? And I think that we can state a lot of different ways that we can remain in the vine, or how we can be related and rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ as he states the fact, I am the true vine. Now, first of all, in verse 1, he makes this statement. Let's read again. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, at the beginning, we talked about the fact that the only way that a person can say and claim this particular statement is by being sure that you are truly related to the vine dresser through the true vine. That is, that you have established that relationship, that you have been forgiven your sins, and you have committed your life to Christ. There are lots of ways that individuals come to Christ, aren't there? I mean, I think that if we asked a personal testimony of each individual that's sitting here, you would all have a story. You would all come and say, "This is how I came to Christ. I was sitting in a gospel service, and someone just mentioned it, and it just became clear." Or maybe you sat with someone and they had a scripture with you, and they explained it to you. Maybe you were up at a Bible camp, or whatever it may be. Each and every one of us have a different story. And there's some people that come to Christ in extraordinary ways, and sometimes they're like myself, just kneeling beside the side of my bed as a little boy with my mother beside me. But whatever it is, we all have a story. And we all have that relationship with the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus says, I am the true vine, that is that you are rightly related, grafted into the family of God because of the fact that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we establish that, then we can move forward in our growth. Because you see, if you don't have that relationship, if you don't have that true living relationship with the living God, it's very difficult to say, well, I am, you know, part of this family of God. I believe in the true vine, and God is the vine dresser. And so when we don't have that relationship, when we don't have salvation, it's difficult for God to be able to work in our lives, because we cannot be sensitive and respond to his Spirit that lives in us. And so one of the things that I think is really important is that I get worried sometimes, because very often we can go through life attached to a church, attached to even a body of believers, and sometimes not hear what the message is. I a number of years ago, I met a young lady who belonged to a very conservative, exclusive type church. And I'll never forget talking with her, and I would witness to her, and I said, "Well, when did you become a Christian?" Now, I'm not looking for the millisecond or the hour or the minute. You know, some people they write it down that way, and that's great, but you know, it isn't. The scripture doesn't tell us it's about that moment that you just receive Christ and just understand it, and the understanding comes. But this young woman says, "Well, I was kind of like born into this." And it was fascinating, because she met my mother some time later, and my mother said to her the same thing. She goes, "You know, your son has said the same thing to me about you know, having a relationship with God, about trusting Jesus as my Savior." Now, she'd grown up people reading the Bible. She went to church every night of the week. These are people that go at 6 o'clock every evening. They go for 45 minutes to a meeting, And then they go out and do whatever they do. And they live very, very protected, you know, lives. They live in a certain way. And yet she wasn't saved. It's tragic. You know, that can happen. And so it's imperative that we understand that God takes the broken and the hurt and the sinful and he saves. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing what God does. And I hope that we treasure that and we value that. You know, I'm up here because I part of what God has given me to do as a spiritual gift to be involved in Bible teaching and sharing the gospel and opening up the Word of God. But I'm as much a broken vessel as anybody here. And we are all in this together. Don't you ever think that the person standing up here is any better than you are? We're all sinners saved by God's wonderful grace. And I'm grateful for that. And I hope you really understand that. And I hope that never someone stands up here and tells you and speaks in a condescending way. We are all in this together. And so I take these words and say, Jesus is my true vine. And God is the vine dresser. My God is the vine dresser. He is the gardener. He is the gardener. He nurtures. One of the characteristics about being a part of the family of God, of being part of what God has given us, and this picture of a vineyard, and if you look at a vineyard, and I've had the privilege because I grew up where I did, you know, wherever we went, there's vineyards. And you go out there and you see these beautiful places, and there's lovely wineries all around our area. And you can go out and you can go, and it's beautiful. And there's this one place that they grow these beautiful roses right around the vines. It's a very beautiful scene. And they're very well kept, and they're meticulous, and there's beautiful roses. But you go and you look, and you look at this gnarled sometimes piece of branch or wood where it comes out of the ground, and all of a sudden it just, you know, and it goes and just keeps on going, and you can follow that vine, and it's just, and it spreads over a trestle, and it just keeps going. That's what you and I are part of, and so we're part of this overflowing growth that takes place. Now, we're not talking about the pruning here, but at one point there was a starting point. And sometimes even in our lives, there's a point where God has to work in us. And so when Jesus says, I am the vine, he's saying, my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, there's a care that has been taken. When I go into those vineyards and I look around, and one of the brothers in the assembly there in San Felipe, he was an overseer. He was in charge of a whole farm and a whole vineyard, and it was amazing. You'd go out there and he'd say, you know, and he'd give you details by tasting one grape. You know, he'd tell you what was going on within the whole vineyard. Why? Because of the nature of what it is, and so when we see what God has done through this particular image, we realize that there was wisdom in how the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples. And he says there, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, verse 2, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I look at this and I ask you the question, and I ask myself, have you had any pruning in your life? You ever been pruned a little bit? Sure. If you haven't been pruned, there's two reasons. You're pretty close to perfect. Or you're proud. Pride can get in the way of growth. Look, none of us can stand here and sit here and say, I've been kind of left untouched. You know, God just really, you know, he just looks at me and I'm this trophy little group of grapes that just sits there and I'm good. But sometimes they're, you know, those grapes, sometimes they don't bear fruit the way they should. And we go through things and we could, you know, take different analogies and we could take different ideas. But the reality is that there are times in our life that we go through pruning. You know, and sometimes it is that we've allowed disease or what we could say is sin to creep into our lives. And as we are on that, on the, you know, part of that group of branches that God is using, sometimes we've allowed some sort of disease or some sort of thing to come in and it doesn't bear fruit the way it should. I've seen that happen in our own backyard, is that, you know, you go and you, this particular these particular vines, they're just not yielding like they should. And so the guy that kind of looks after, he goes, well, yeah, I'll have to really prune that. I'll have to really, really fix that. I have to, and sometimes, you know, the cutting back is almost criminal. And anybody that's done any gardening or any pruning, sometimes when you have to cut back, it just looks like it's pretty bad. You know, And what happens to us, others that are observing, go, wow, that's really something. You know, sometimes we do that with other Christians. God has been pruning them. And God's been dealing in their life. And is cutting back. And what do? We sit there and go, boy, glad that's not me, or we cast a critical eye or critical glance or act in a way that doesn't really reflect what the vine dresser is all about. And so when we take a look at what God is doing, you know, the Bible is very clear. It says that God, you know, those whom he loves, he does chastise sometimes. He does deal with them. And sometimes that has to happen. Verse 2, it says, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, there are sometimes that there is someone within the context of the body, and they're not bearing fruit. They're not, and the reality is we find out that they really never understood what it was to yield themselves to the vine dresser. You know, as I said, there's people that come into church fellowships and all across the board, and they are not really truly connected to the vine. They're not truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those that Jesus would be alluding to here is Judas Iscariot. He spent 3 years with Christ. He was under the sound of his message. He saw the miracles. He saw the grace. He saw the strength. He saw the love. And yet, he still sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He still betrayed him. Why? Because he truly did not have an understanding of the vine dresser. He didn't understand that who the true vine was. And he would have heard this. He would have heard this message that you and I are discussing today and taking out. And you've got to wonder, why didn't it resonate with him? Now, verse 3 says, already you are clean because of the world that I have, because of the word that I have spoken to you. And he's speaking to his disciples. He says, I have infused you with the word of God. I've infused you with the life that is found. How is it that grapes grow? Well, one of the things that grapes obviously need is for growth is water, but they also need sunshine. That's why we don't have as many vineyards here in North America, here in Vancouver, because we don't see the sunshine in the same way that some of these other places where vineyards are really have growth. And if you go down to the Napa Valley or into Sonoma County in Northern California, or you go into even into the interior in the Okanagan, what do we see? We see vineyards, and often they are set on more inclines, right, on sides of hills. Now there are in flatlands, but sometimes the growth is the best on those sides of the hills because of the way the sun comes and falls over and falls upon them. There is a method that God uses to help us to grow, and we get the sunlight from Jesus Christ. His sun beams down on us by the power of His Spirit, and the character of Christ is seen. And what is the urgency? And what is the encouragement from the Apostle Paul? He says, imitate Christ. Be like Christ. Because He is the light of the world. He is the true vine. And He exposes. And out of that light that comes, out of the water that is grown, out of the care and the nurture of God, out of the pruning of God, comes fruit. Now, what kind of fruit are we bearing? Here in verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, I think that's fairly clear, isn't it? As we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, a branch that bears no fruit is obviously dead. And so that was one of the reasons why Judas was cut off. There's a very clear example of someone who just, he wasn't abiding in the vine. He was cut off. And you know, right up to the very end, he was accompanying the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about it, he betrayed Christ. Christ was taken and he was crucified within 24 hours approximately. He died and he rose again. And Judas, in that time, took his own life. In that time when Christ had been crucified, he'd taken his own life within a fairly short period of time. How could someone who'd been with the very Son of God taken such a drastic measure? It's because he wasn't being nurtured and wasn't living and abiding and believing in the true vine. We sometimes wonder how people can act in certain ways. That's the reason. And so Jesus says, he says very clearly, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Verse 5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's not an arrogant statement. He's saying, you know, and I think that when we think about the natural, you know, the natural understanding of what Jesus is trying to say here, he's saying, look, he says, nothing can take place in growth. And I think we know that. I mean, we can't take, you know, certain twigs and put them in the ground and say, well, I hope something grows. You know, there has to be something that has life, and that life can come out of that. A seed or some sort of kernel or some sort of living organism that can bring the growth out of what that truly is. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, my Father is the vine dresser. You know, he looks after, he nurtures, and sometimes he prunes, and sometimes he cuts off. And you know what? It is amazing. You know, Jesus could have figured out Judas pretty early. right? Which he did. But what did, you know, Jesus could have said to Judas, you know, I know that you're stealing money. I know that you're not really with us here. But there was grace. He gave so much opportunity. He showed him the love. You know, it wasn't like Judas wasn't participant of the great things that Jesus did. He included him. He extended grace to him. He said, and he showed him the Father. And he even says this, and he says, and you know, Judas at any point in time in those 3 years could have trusted Jesus. But he was skeptical. And he was judgmental. And he withdrew. And he didn't allow the vine dresser to prune him. He didn't trust in the true vine. And there was no growth. You know, as we begin to close here in the next 5 minutes. Now, the fruitfulness is the result of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ reproduced in a disciple. Now, what is our responsibility? The disciple's responsibility is to remain. To remain. Okay? Now, let's think about this. This is the key word here. When we look at what Jesus says, he says, abide in me or remain in me. Okay? To remain in who Christ is. So, the word is in Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but what I do know, I researched this. The word is meno. Now, I'm sure it's, I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, but I believe it's M-E-N-O. Now, the O has a little squiggly line over it, but I'm not sure how you would say that in Greek. But the understanding was meno. And so that's the word. Now, there's some explanations of what this word. Now, that is the beauty of the Greek language, which is different a little bit from the way that the English and Germanic languages, or the even the Romance languages, such as Portuguese and other languages, but the Greek language is unique because it and that's why there's many scholars that study it, and they say, you know, this is what the true meaning of the word is, and sometimes just like certain words. Might have two different meanings, or they might have a much more a larger meaning than something very specific. We have words that are, you know, it's a legalistic word. That's all it, you know, that has nothing else that can describe it. But there's other words that have a little bit more of a latitude. Well, this is one of those words. And so, first of all, what we see here. It can mean, first of all, to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, to remain. So, John chapter 6. Just quickly look at John chapter 6. And from verse 54. It says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day, on the last day. Now, obviously, this is alluding to the fact that as we participate in the communion or in the breaking of bread service. And so it mentions that. And then also verse 56, where it says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. In other words, when we participate, participate of the communion, we are actually, you know, participating in remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ in his flesh, he gave of himself, he shed his blood. And so when we trust Christ as our Savior, there is an acceptance, an entrance into understanding that Christ gave his life, he shed his blood, he sacrificed his body so that you and I could be forgiven our sins. There's a deep theological truth and and an incredible sacrifice that took place there that goes much beyond than just the death of someone. There was something beautiful and special because Jesus Christ was the very Son of God, God Himself, perfect in every form, and gave of Himself. And so then every Sunday morning that we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, we partake of those emblems. There is an affirmation of our relationship with the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege as we take those emblems, because Jesus, you know, that's why He put such importance on it. So that's, first of all, that's what it is to remain in or abide in Christ. Is that, and that's why there's an importance put upon the breaking of bread, the communion. And so if you look at the communion as something that's optional, whether you attend or not, you know, and you may not have seen me here, but I was at a breaking of bread in another place this morning. But if you just look at it as an optional thing, what you're doing is that you're missing out on a new way that you can remain or abide in Christ. I urge you, I encourage you. It's the most beautiful, precious service that you can be, because you can be involved in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and gave His life for you. I don't look at it as, oh, it's a legalistic thing because it's our group of churches that celebrate. Lots of churches celebrate it. And we're not here to comment whether they're wrong or right. I personally do love the fact that it's once a week. Not because it's my tradition anymore. When I was younger, it was my tradition. But now it's because I truly am convicted, because it's one of the ways that I remain in Christ. I put such value on it that during the week, I'm not living in sin and doing whatever I want, because I put value on that. I want to come back and be remaining and abiding in Christ. You get the point? It's crucial. It's important. And I urge you. The second way that we remain or we abide in Christ is that it's as we accepted Jesus as our Savior, that we continue or we persevere in believing. Chapter 8 and verse 31, let's take a look at that. That we persevere in our believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples.'" In other words, that as we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we remember Him on a regular basis, then as we remain in Christ, in other words, immerse yourself in the Bible, in the Word of God. Let it bathe you. Let it touch your life. I have a nephew of mine who a few years ago kind of took his own path and did his own thing. And a wonderful young man. And I remember traveling with him. He once came with me down to Chile. And I sat with him and I said, "You know, you really need to get back on track with Christ." I said, you're saved. And I said, "You're baptized. You've made a statement, and yet your life is not reflecting it." He was working over in Alberta and making pretty good money. But the lifestyle was a bad influence on him. He said, and he stopped and he went and got himself involved in Bible school and took some courses. And today, he's a young man who's honoring God. And you know what? He stayed overnight the other night at our house, and it was so cool just seeing him doing his devotions. Wow. But that's how he's remaining and abiding in Christ. He's rightly related to the person of Christ that way. And then the third way, it can also mean believing or loving obedience. Verses of chapter 15, Let's look at verse 9 and 10. And there it says, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you love me, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, what did Jesus say? He says, I've done it. I've imitated Christ in the way that I've lived, in the way that I operate, in the way that I serve. He says, I'm doing it. So he's encouraging the disciples. He says, abide not only in the Word, not only by remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as our personal Savior, but the third way here is abiding in his love by being obedient. And you see, this word remain or abide, this meno, has a multiplicity of meaning for us so that you and I can truly appreciate the fullness and completeness of our relationship with the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says these words, I am the true vine. You know, he says there's lots of vines growing here and there. And we know that, right? There's lots of belief in so many different things. But I'm going to say something here. With this, we'll close. There's so many times that we can look over the fence and go, man, you know, those people, and we look down with a condescension, we look down with a critical eye at people that believe in other things. I'm not talking about Christian, I'm talking about other faiths. You know, I am 100% convicted and convinced that Jesus is the answer. And I love him so much. And I want to imitate him so much that it's not my job to call down and criticize and be mean about other religions. It's my job to love God with all my heart and to come across in a way that is gentle and meek so that people will say, that's what I want. Because Jesus is the true vine. That's what he means. What did he say in Matthew? He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle. He's humble in heart. That's who we serve. So, what are you filling your life with? Bunch of sand? Or the real things? The rocks? The stuff that's important? All the other things, they have importance. But really, who is the rock? Jesus says that about himself. And he is the one who truly is the vine. And allow the vine dresser to prune you wherever you need it so that you can grow. And we as believers, as another believer has gone through the pruning, put your arm around him. Give him a little water. Just be nice to them. If they're going through pruning, just come alongside and help them. Give them a little sunlight. Whatever it is, so that brother, that sister will grow and they'll bear fruit. And Jesus will be exalted. And Christ will be glorified to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that your word can ignite our hearts. And Lord, we lay it before you and ask in Jesus' precious and most worthy name that you would be exalted. And just pray your blessing upon this group of believers here at Park Crest. Thank you for each one. Pray for those who are traveling and away. Watch over them for good, we pray. Pray for those who couldn't make it, and Lord, may you be their portion today and watch over them. And thank you that we can come alongside and truly appreciate the fact that you are the true vine and we are the branches. Our prayer is that today you would be exalted through our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. May he keep you. And may his face shine upon you both today and the rest of this week.